Boy, we got a bunch of stuff that we didn't get to last time.
And I know.
This show works great because all we have to do is save the things that we didn't get to for the next one.
Yeah, exactly.
And lo and behold, one of the things that I mentioned last time was Luka, the Dallas Mavericks' Luka Doncic.
Right.
And now, you know, between the previous ankle injury and another ankle injury, I was all fired up about the All-Star game, and now I'm wondering, son, should you even try? You know, I mean,
no kidding.
You know, save it for what we need to do.
I was going to say, is the payoff that big?
I don't think so.
It's really not compared to a long season and a championship.
Yeah, especially the way these guys play the game at the level they play. And I've always been a Mavericks fan. I mean, I've been a Mavericks fan since Moody Madness days, right?
Right.
I saw someone write the other day that we really don't appreciate how great we've got it right now with Luka because we weren't that bad that long. There are teams that have waited a lot longer for another opportunity to
That's true.
Do
and
well.
Then, of course, we had Dirk.
And Dirk.
I mean, Dirk was such a class act.
Did you happen to see his tweet that he sent right after Kobe Bryant's death?
Yes.
Dirk Nowitzki is a better human being than he is a basketball player. He's just got such a great heart. Luka speaks, I think, six languages fluently, something like that.
I mean, hello.
You know, who wouldn't want their kid to grow up like that?
Exactly.
So there's so many great role models out there, and it's just fun to watch. Speaking of honoring people, we didn't get to one of the subjects, and that is ageism. And it's funny that you brought that up, because between the last time we talked and now, a story came out of Minnesota about a church that wanted to, what they call now in churchdom, replant. And the reason they wanted to do it is because their membership was getting significantly older and shrinking.
Yes.
And so they decided to appeal to a younger audience.
Sure.
Unfortunately, the way the message came across was, we don't want our older members anymore.
Oh.
They didn't have many of them, and so they realized, we've got to figure out a way to attract younger people.
Well, and a lot of people in religious circles are finding that to be the case.
Sure, but this church was forced to backtrack and say, no. What we want to do is it's still, you know, if you want to attract new members and you're a church, how about lifting up the cross? Let's try that.
How about following the good book?
Well,
yeah.
But still, it was really emblematic of what you wanted to talk about in terms of ageism.
Ageism. Here's what we have to think about. I have friends of so many different ages. I mean, I always have had.
Sure.
I have teenagers that I hang with.
Sure.
And I love it because that
sure.
keeps you young. I have friends that are in their 80s and 90s. Most of those people are vital and viable, and their brains are still firing. And I don't think it's fair when you say someone's 50 and you get a certain idea in your head, or someone's 60.
No, it's not fair.
Dr. Charles Key, who was one of the pioneers of LASIK surgery, is 93, 94.
Mm-hmm.
Only last year did he voluntarily give up piloting his own jet. He passed the tests every year. He still runs in the marathons.
Sure, yeah, and there are
around here.
And
tons
of people
amazing.
Like that.
Amazing.
Tons of people like that.
And then I've got so many girlfriends, you'd never know how old they are. They hang out with 40-year-olds. They're in their 60s and 70s.
You're as old as you think, you know?
I believe
or
that.
Or as young as you think.
And you have to take care of yourself. I mean, you've got to exercise. You've got to eat right.
After the Grammy Awards, I always get irritated because inevitably you'll read comments on social media that would have been made about our music by our parents.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is trash. They don't write any good songs anymore. It's not about real entertainment. Oh, please. People said that about the Beatles and Elvis Presley.
Exactly.
You know, stop being somewhere there's a patch of mud missing its stick.
Exactly.
You know, and so, when I see that, I am probably more familiar with my daughter's music than music of my own generation. And the reason for that is I've heard those songs for 40 years, for 50 years. So when I hear someone doing something in new ways that aren't really supposed to work but do, like Billie Eilish, who blows me away.
Blows me away. Taylor Swift, you can keep her. My 6-year-old grand goddaughter listens to Taylor. But Billie Eilish, that's different.
Taylor Swift does things that people have always done, and she does them extremely well, and she's a superstar, and there's no doubt. But then you hear Billie Eilish come out. And
then you go, wow.
Or Lizzo, or someone like, or Post Malone to me.
When Adele came out,
yeah.
That voice.
But
I mean,
we pigeonhole people by chronology, and we
exactly.
say, okay, you're 80 years old, which isn't what 80 used to be, of course.
Yeah. None of those ages are the way we used to think about them.
Or we pigeonhole people in their 20s. Excuse me, if we're going to save the planet, the people who will do it are in their 20s.
Yes, they are.
And they're in their 30s.
Because those of us who are over 50 have lost our little chance now, to really save the planet. We have to back the people who will.
In saying that ageism goes both ways.
Yes, it does.
I will say, I've long said that the best thing you can have in any newsroom is gray hair. Because there's an experience factor there that you may not get with that 25, 26-year-old just out of J school.
And there's a history there. I was talking with someone the other day, and for people who don't know, there's an assignment editor that works at every news desk.
Yeah, yeah.
And they
several kind of them.
Yes, and they're the people who determine what you're going to cover that day and what you'll have for the newscast that night.
Yeah.
That assignment editor really has to be someone who's had some experience, who remembers who did what when, because when they come around and they're up for parole,
yeah,
or they're building another new building after they had bankrupted something, you know, 20 years
they
ago.
They have the context.
They have the context. And the younger, cheaper people don't.
You know, if you pay rent, you don't see your property taxes. You really don't. I mean, if you live in an apartment, you're 24, 25 years old.
Yeah, you have no idea.
So you may not know the difference between a tax cut and a cut in the tax rate.
Yes.
There's a big difference. Mm-hmm. A cut in the tax rate may not save you any money. There's a fine line in there that the 25, 26-year-old, not up through any fault of their own.
Oh, of course not. They just have to grow and mature.
They just have to live more.
You got to live a little longer.
I had a wonderful program director way back long ago when I worked for KLIF for a very brief time. His name was Danny McDuff. And I asked him one time why I wasn't progressing faster in my career. And his answer was simple. You haven't lived enough life yet. And I've never forgotten that. There's nothing more valuable than living life and learning along the way. Oh, this matters. This doesn't. That sort of thing. And to have that in a newsroom, I will tell you this. After I left K-Love, I'm not done with radio. I don't want to be done with radio. I want to be done with some of the people in radio. And broadcasting,
sure,
because it's not about what it used to be. It is all driven by the stock price. It is all driven by companies who try to cut their way to profitability.
And those of us who grew up in a generation where news mattered, you didn't know necessarily how someone thought in a newsroom.
Yeah.
You were supposed to sit on the fence. And in radio, where radio really was supposed to be theater of the mind.
I was looking for a job. In radio, back in radio, and kind of made an overture toward one local radio station.
Uh-huh.
Word came back to me that the answer was, he's too old.
Wow.
Well, okay, fine. That was a little disconcerting. I just turned 60 years of age. I promise you, I think younger than most 60-year-olds do.
I can promise you that, too.
And, you know, that kind of floored me a little bit because the people who were saying it are 60 years old.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, well, goodness, you just drained a good portion of the talent pool. If you think that about me, you remember Mike Snyder, of course.
Sure.
Mike, who was the anchor at Channel 5 for years.
And years.
And did a wonderful job when he was at Channel 5. Mike Snyder, Jane McGarry, who does a great job on Good Morning Texas. Mike and I ran into each other at a wonderful event. And we were talking about this and what he's doing now, and he's not in broadcasting anymore. He is in the media.
Mm-hmm.
But he said when he went looking for work, he heard that a lot. But the translation was, he's too expensive. And Mike said, well, not anymore. Not anymore, because nobody in that business makes the money that they used to.
Oh, heck no.
Unless they're in management and they're getting bonuses for cutting jobs, which is another whole podcast. But when you hear stuff like that, you think, okay, you're sacrificing an invaluable commodity in experience and knowledge in order to do what? And the other day, I think I saw a story that Warren Buffett is getting out of the newspaper business because now he doesn't think print can be saved. And long we've heard print is dead. Well, my point has always been it didn't have to die. What newspapers did that hurt them the most was they stopped being what they are.
Exactly.
And if you know, in a relationship, in a marriage, in a business, in media, whatever you do,
if you radically change,
if you try to be something you're not,
hello,
how does that work out?
So rather
than focus on the writing and the photography, which is what made newspapers great, they decided to start electronic media, broadcasting, paywalls, all these other things, instead of being more of what they should have been, they tried to be something they're not, and now look where we are.
Instead of finessing their own art.
Instead of finessing their own art and using their own abilities and skills and the strengths that made them great, which is the same problem radio and television and magazines and how many other businesses have. Like a barbecue restaurant that builds too many locations.
Mm-hmm.
We want to expand. We want to make more money.
Too big, too fast.
And then you can't guarantee.
And you lose the quality.
You lose the quality. You can't guarantee consistency. And that's why whenever I do my top 10 barbecue list, I generally don't recommend chains because I can't promise you that their fourth location is going to be the same as their first location.
And this is true.
So if you build more than two or three, I probably ain't coming. So anyway, sorry for that lengthy rant. But when you mentioned ageism.
It jumps all over. And there was something that I mentioned the last time too.
And by the way, let me say again. That should not work in the reverse. If there's a 25-year-old out there who's brilliant and has the qualifications, absolutely they should get the consideration, but so should the 55 and 65-year-old who has all of that plus the experience.
Exactly.
And if you don't consider those people, you're only hurting yourself. And I know that healthcare costs and insuring an older person is more expensive. All of those things are true for corporations. But why are you there?
Yeah.
Is it only to serve the bottom line or is it to serve the customer?
You have to look at the whole person, and the age doesn't matter. No matter how young you are or how old you are you the right person?
Are you the right person
for the job
the job or for the moment?
For the moment.
For the moment.
You bet.
So many studies that I've seen, as long as you keep learning and keep searching, and I just know too many people who put their feet up and go, I'm done. I'm good. That's all I need to know. And it's like, why? You know, Ron Chapman, who we've both known for years and worked
with. And love and adore.
He has a thirst for more knowledge that is unlike anyone I've ever seen. He can't get enough new. He loves new. And as he always used to say.
And he embraces change, and a lot of people don't.
He certainly does.
And as he used to say.
These are the good old days.
Yes, they are.
Don't want to use up all our time without getting back to the other subject that we didn't get to last time. Which is panhandling, because you were on your way to the tiny house studio where mm-hmm. we're recording this, and in the canyon right south of downtown Dallas, you noticed, and it's impossible not to see, the number of people who are literally risking their lives panhandling.
And they're standing out there, and you know that these are the people who have mental health issues, because no one's sane would stand in the middle of lanes of traffic in one little place, one little corner where yeah. you're kind of protected from all the oncoming traffic. It is frightening.
You know, I had a wonderful conversation
anyway.
With John Fullenweider years ago, who's a wonderful community activist and advocate for the homeless. If they didn't have mental problems before, a short time living on the street will give them mental problems and mental illness. I mean, first of all, you lose everything.
Yes.
Then you lose your identity. You become invisible. True story, I once did a story on homelessness, and to do it, I went down to the streets dressed as a homeless person.
Mm-hmm.
And I encountered somebody I've known in the broadcast business for 30 years, and they didn't even see me.
Wow.
They looked right past me. When you're homeless, no one looks you in the eye.
Well, there's a fear. And there's a certain guilt.
Nobody ever asks your name.
No.
And, you know, if you talk to people like Wayne Walker at Our Calling and other people who actually are right in the midst of all this working
yeah.
with people who are living on the street, they will tell you that the worst thing that you can do is give them money.
Yeah.
Because all that does is, if it's not a scam, it just perpetuates their situation. And if they have a few bucks in their pocket that they go spend on, you know, crap at the convenience store or alcohol or worse, then all you're doing is keeping them on the street. There's no incentive for them to go to the shelters. There's no incentive for them to go get help, because they can still make some sort of meager income to satisfy whatever it is that keeps them on the street. So the money you spend or the money you want to give is best served by giving it to these outreach organizations.
I think that's probably the thing that bothers me the most about all the homeless situation is, you want a solution. And what is the solution?
There is no magic bullet. This is where it's so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
They want you. Fullenweider said that we are all, or most of us, just one major life trauma away from the street. And I completely believe that.
I completely believe that.
Listen, I say that you shouldn't give them money, but I'll talk to them. I'll ask their name. Where are you from? How did you wind up here? Where
yeah.
do you stay? What do you need?
Mm-hmm.
How are you making it? Do you have warm clothes? Do you have a blanket? Do you have a sleeping bag? All of those things.
I'm much more liable to give a sleeping bag than $20.
And sometimes you may get yelled at and have that thing thrown right back in your face.
And I've had food thrown back in my face, as I've shared with you before.
And if you're going to do that, you have to be prepared for that as well. Yeah. And yes, there is a danger factor. There is. I mean, I've been to parts of this city that most people who live here do not know exist.
Right.
There's a place in Fort Worth called Jurassic Park.
And it's, oh, I know what you're talking
it's
about.
It's aptly named because you
it's
will...
It's primitive.
It's medieval. Mm-hmm. And you have a drunk hooker with vomit on her shirt. Want a hug? That will test your commitment. But yeah, I'm the guy that will say, okay, how can I help you? What can I do? And that and drive you somewhere. And it's not because I'm a good person. That's not my nature. My nature is to run. My nature is to run. Are you kidding me?
Keep away.
The point is acting against my nature.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they want. They want you. Here's a startling statistic. The number of people in the United States, which has been growing, who are chronically homeless is equal to the number of churches, mosques, and synagogues in the United States.
Wow.
Roughly the same. So if every house of worship just fulfilled its mandate, you know, I visited a Cornerstone Baptist Church near Fair Park a couple of weeks ago, and when you walk into the halls of that church, you realize this is a working church. They have stacks of boxes in every hallway, and the boxes are filled with diapers and razors and shaving cream and hand sanitizer. And, you know, it's not a neat place. It's not slick.
Well, it's not pristine, that's for sure.
It's not for looking.
No.
It's not for looking at.
When you say working church, they're doing their mission.
Yeah.
And that's helping the people in their community.
Whatever faith you follow.
Yes.
There's a challenge there. You wonder what it is that the city or that government could really do to stop those dangerous situations, rounding them up and kicking them out and throwing them in the...
That's not the answer.
That's not going to work. And by the way, not all of them want a job.
This is true.
I found that when you take a homeless person back home, it takes about 6 weeks before many of them are right back on the street.
Yeah.
When you bring them home, the family is really glad to see them, and it's wonderful. But after about 6 weeks...
of the day-to-day, and this person probably has problems that put them on the street in the first place.
And the family, well-meaning, well-intentioned, but families being families, will remind them, well, if you hadn't have done this, if you'd only done this, if you'd have finished school, if you'd have just kept that job. And after a while, it's like, why do I want to hear reminders of my failure over and over? I'll go back under the bridge where everyone's a failure.
They didn't want to stay.
Yeah.
They didn't want to be there.
Yeah. It's for a lot of people who live on the streets, the structure that the rest of us enjoy is a straitjacket.
Yes.
And that's a big problem. So how do you, you know, I mean, City Square and Larry James and his organization do such a fabulous job. They meet their need. It's an arduous process. You really have to rebuild lives from scratch. That's hard.
When Phil Romano was doing Hunger Busters
in
downtown Dallas, in parts of the city that, you know, under bridges and under overpasses.
The wall right in front of City Hall.
And the wall right in front of City Hall. I remember him telling me, and they'd get the same people.
Over and over,
and you get to know who they were. And a lot of them were very intelligent.
Artistic, creative.
And articulate. Maybe that person lost their job. They tried to keep it up. They couldn't. They got further and further down into the homelessness where they didn't have the right clothes. They couldn't stay clean.
And started to believe that's where they belong.
Yeah. And to crawl back up out of the pit was just, it wearied them to even think about it.
And I have to tell you, whenever I hear anyone say, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, I want to punch them. I really do, because not everybody has boots.
Let alone the straps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all owe something to a teacher, to a coach, to a coworker, to a friend, to a spouse, to a family member, to a parent. We all owe someone something. And so for anyone to say, well, you just need to do what I did and find your backbone and shut up.
Tell me how you really feel, Jody.
That's what we do here on Just Three Things.
That is what we do, Just Three Things.
Would you believe we've already burned up all our time?
I would believe it.
I have no idea what we're going to talk about next week, but I just saw a story the other day that as of the end of January, there are places in Texas where the blue bonnets are already coming up. That can't be right.
And this is my mantra.
This is back to ageism?
It's back to ageism, and I've probably shared it before, but it's worth sharing, and it totally fits me. Age is a number. Numbers are math. I don't do math.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's so Dallas. As Terry King used to say, that's so Dallas.
It's so Jossie.
All right. Well, we've actually managed to stick to almost three things.
Almost.
And thank you again for listening.